This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits. Enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform, Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
This is a special edition iFanboy podcast on Thor the Dark World. On Thor the Dark World. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and here with me is Paul Montgomery.
Hello, sir.
And we are from ifanboy.com, and every week we talk about the week's books, but we also like to talk about the movies that come out, so we thought we'd talk about Thor the Dark World, the newest from Marvel Studios, and there will be spoilers ahead. I just like to get that out now, since we'll be talking about the film. This is the second Thor film, the second film since Avengers. This is directed by Alan Taylor, a veteran of Game of Thrones and television. I think this is his first film.
Sounds right.
Let's just jump into the action. It's, you know, it's everyone you saw from the first film back again for more Thor action. And Paul, what did you think?
I'm a happy Thor fan.
Okay, good.
Thor is Thor. The original Thor is one of my favorites from Phase One.
Yes.
Part of it is that I love that world. I love the blend of fantasy and science fiction and romance and comedy. It's one of the funnier movies in the line. Usually you think of Iron Man for that, but I really love Thor.
There's a lot to talk about in this movie. The more I think about it, it's crazy.
There is. It really is. But there's more of that here. It's bigger and more of what you liked from the original Thor. More Loki.
I saw a screening of this on Monday before it came out Friday in North America. And so I was fielding a lot of questions throughout the week from people wanting to know how it was. And I described it two ways. One, I said, and I'd rewatched the original Thor the day before going to see the screening just to sort of prep, you know, get pumped up for it. And the first Thor is very small. It's a very small movie. It basically all takes place in that small town. Thor doesn't have his powers for like 85% of the movie.
Yeah.
It's a very small movie. This movie is a giant movie. This movie opens up the world. It takes place over all the nine realms. It's giant battles. I mean, this is...
Here we go to Vanaheim and...
This is the opposite of the first film in terms of scope and scale. This is a Thor movie. Other thing I'd like to tell people is that it's almost a comedy. And...
Yeah.
And you said the same thing I've been saying, is that, you know, you think of Iron Man because Downey Jr. is so funny, but... And Cap has jokes, and Avengers had jokes in it, but... The first Thor movie is almost a comedy, and this one's almost the same because they really sort of embrace the joke here. It's not just the funny quips from the hero. There's set pieces, there's comedy pieces, there's callbacks, there's all kinds of things that they really sort of. It's not a yuck fest. It's a big action film with big action pieces, but it's also
really well balanced. Yeah. I think because you have I think if there are any complaints that I've heard about. From a lot of the reviews, it's that Christopher Eccleston as Malekith is not the most, you know, is not the most well-rounded
villain.
Yeah,
no, he's Nero from Star Trek, basically. He's
even more. I mean, he's like Sauron, really. I mean, he's like from the Lord of the Rings. He's sort of not the pterodactyl guy. Right. It's very much about. I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to plunge the world back into darkness at all costs. There's no jokes whatsoever. Even Nero had some like, "Hello, Christopher."
Right, it's just sort of like he's there and he's a device to tell the story. But he's not. The only downside I thought of the movie was that he's not super compelling, the character or the performance.
Well, that's okay because you have plenty of other antagonism from Loki, who's Marvel's best villain, at least in the cinematic universe.
Well, he was the only character that received applause when they appeared on screen. Like,
that's cool.
The audience loves Loki. And
I had a very unresponsive audience, except for a guy behind me who was at every joke. And when he first saw the Aether, he's like, "Oh, Carnage." And I was like, Jesus. no, pal.
So let's back it up and just give a brief rundown of what the story is. So coming out of the events in Avengers, Thor is, you know, he's taken Loki to Asgardian prison, which is in the dungeons underneath the city, I guess, or the castle. And then he's been dispatched by Odin to restore order to the nine realms. So there's a great sequence where him and the Warriors Three and Lady Sif are, you know, doing battle across the nine realms as they, you know, pacify, I guess, the uprisings that have been going on. And then in the course of this, we learn the story of the Dark Elves, who were the bad people in the realm before even the time of Odin.
Even before Odin with Bor, Thor's grandfather. Yeah.
And they were defeated and destroyed, and their weapon, the Aether, was hidden away, never to be found again. And then so we find that the leader of the Dark Elves actually didn't die. He's Malekith, and he's coming back, and the Aether is discovered by Jane on Earth, who's working now in London with her team of Selvig, who has gone a little bonkers since the New York incident. I loved his constant nuttiness and running around naked. And then Darcy, her funny assistant, they're all working in London now with their new intern, Ian. And they accidentally stumble upon a portal to another dimension, which Jane falls through and ends up with the Aether. And so she unleashes the Aether, that unleashes the Dark Elves, and it all ends up in a giant battle on Earth, but then also through all the nine realms, which I thought was a fantastic final battle sequence going through those portals.
Yeah, really.
And that's, you know, Loki ends up having to help Thor out after, you know, there's just a lot of things happening. But as you said, it felt very balanced, felt very fun, and moved very quickly. And, God, I had so much fun watching this movie. In fact, so much fun, I'm going to see it again tomorrow.
So. Yeah, I'm gonna go check this out. I always see it first to review it, and then I go check it out with my dad, who's a big fan of these movies, and he especially likes the funny ones. Yeah. So this one we're really looking forward to. Kind of worried about Captain America because it looks a little bit more a little darker. Right. So I don't know if there's going to be as many laughs there with the Cold War stuff. But anyways,
let's talk about the fun, because that's really one of the elements I think that really distinguishes. And I hate, you know, you hate to get into the Marvel versus DC thing, but it's almost impossible not to. But, you know, I remember watching this film and having the distinct thought in the middle going, I'm never going to see a DC movie like this. Where, you know, the DC, yeah. Warner Brothers has gone the dark, gritty route and sort of unrelentingly dark. And it worked great for Batman, but not so great for Superman. And I just, you know, you just feel that tone will continue. It's even there in Arrow a bit, although they've lightened it up quite a bit in season two.
Mm-hmm.
But just the amount of pure joy in the way this is written is something that doesn't exist in these DC movies. And I was watching that thinking it made me sad because, you know, probably never happened. But that doesn't take away from how much fun these Marvel movies are and how well constructed they are and how, you know, I keep waiting for them to fall on their face with one of these and it hasn't happened yet.
And Thor...
Even Hulk was enjoyable.
Before we saw the first Thor movie, I was wondering, like, what is Thor going to be like in live action? Because up until then, we just had the babysitter movie.
Right.
So,
well, no, you had a Thor was also in the Hulk movie, the trial of the, no, that was Daredevil, the death of the Hulk. Death
right.
The Incredible Hulk, they had Thor.
But, like, you're like, how are you going to present the Hulk Thor, and, like, but in this, and in the first one, he's so charming, and he can be like brooding and regal and noble and everything, but he can also, there's such joy when, like, you know he takes out a bad guy in the beginning. He's like, anyone else? And
well,
they really lucked
out with Chris Hemsworth. He is, you know, he is gigantic. He mm-hmm. looks the part. He's handsome, but he can do comedy really well.
He can do comedy. He can do romance.
And he's a walking Christmas machine, which means I must hate him because he does everything well. He's handsome. He's tall. Every time I looked over at my girlfriend, she was giggling into her hands every time he did something, you know, on the screen. And it's just...
Now, I know that he has muscles that I have that are just... I don't have them developed.
They're under the surface, Paul.
He has additional muscles right. that I have never had and never will have.
Right.
Things on his back that I did not know you could
have.
He's
a great Thor. And the thing... We've talked about this a lot throughout the years, talking to these Marvel movies, is that they really cast well.
They did.
And I really love this whole ensemble, this whole Thor ensemble from...
It's really important.
From Hemsworth to Hiddleston as Loki to the whole Earth gang with Natalie Portman and Kat Dennings and Stellan Skarsgård to I love Anthony Hopkins as Odin. I mean, the whole Warriors 3 is great. We have a new we had Chuck join the cast this year as what's the character's name?
As Fandral.
Fandral, new Fandral.
And then Hogan.
Yep.
And Volstagg.
Really
yeah, they leave Hogan behind, which, you know, they have so many, plus Sif and like more stuff for Sif to do, which is pretty cool.
What was great was that also, I told people, I forgot one of the things I also told people, is that everyone got more to do this time.
Yes, they had a shining moment, like Fandral, I think, especially. They still don't quite have Volstagg. He's not quite as voluminous as he needs to be.
Well, they talk about that. I read an article about it. He's, you know, he's basically a guy with a big beer belly. They're not, you know.
It's not just the size. Like, I mean, they could have gone like Bomber from The Hobbit, like, and go really super fat and stuff and have him sitting on people. But even just like the personality isn't quite there. You want John Candy from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Right. That's Volstagg.
And then Heimdall, Idris Elba got more to do. I mean, and
yes.
And Frigga, Rene Russo, the mother,
she had like a lightsaber duel. That was pretty cool.
I really was impressed by this movie quite a bit. And God, I love this world, you know? I love this world they've created, these characters that they've brought forth.
There's one chilling moment, and I'd love seeing more of Asgard. Mm-hmm. But there's one chilling moment where Thor and Jane are walking out on this promenade, and there's looking out on a lake, and it's very reminiscent of a certain scene in Star Wars Episode Two, and them together, and especially the way she's dressed and the way it's lit, and just this particular setting in Asgard, but it's so much better. You know, Jane's not like I don't really think a fully fleshed out character. She is a bit of a damsel in distress from time to time, and I mean, she isn't.
She uses her brains in this to save the day quite a few times.
She does.
In the final battle, she's not like, you know, waiting around for Thor to save her. She actually saves Thor a couple times with
her. You know, it was the real surprise in this was Skarsgård. I wasn't expecting him to be the comic relief that he was. I think he had some moments where it was a little bit thankless in the Avengers and in the original Thor, where he's kind of an exposition machine. That's not the case here. I mean, he gives away some exposition, but naked at Stonehenge. I'm gonna need to get my pants.
It was awesome because he's almost always the heavy these days. Like, he's almost always the villain, the psychopath, the bad guy.
You do not think about his dragon tattoo role.
No, or any of it. I was watching Ronan the other day, and I forgot he's one of the bad guys. Like, he's better been cast in the evil master. Even Good Will Hunting, he's the bad mathematician. It's just. But here he gets to sort of be the unbridled, goofy scientist guy who has gone nuts from his encounter with Loki and runs around Stonehenge naked. And I thought he was great. I thought everyone in this movie was really wonderful. I mean, yeah, Jane is she's probably the least compelling of that group, just as an actress. She does not. You know, Kat Dennings is sort of naturally funny, and Stellan Skarsgård obviously could pull
it off. That's probably it, is because she's the one she doesn't get to be funny as often.
But I think she really works as love interest. I thought they had great chemistry in the first movie, and they had, you know, continued here. Mm-hmm. But she got to go to Asgard, so we got to see the sort of reverse fish out of water, where she
that's true.
Instead of last time where Thor was on Earth, and she went to Asgard and had to deal with meeting the mother and the father who really didn't want her to be there, and the weird technology and wearing the clothes. And I thought that was all fun. And
it was fun. There was a point where, like, halfway through the movie, I was like, there's missing something. And it's like the Thor being the fish out of water on Earth that I really liked from the first movie. But then he comes to Earth, and you get that great moment where he hangs up his hammer on the hat rack. And
Or rides the underground.
Yeah, so it's there. You just got to wait for it. But it all comes together. And it's a really satisfying movie. And as you said, that final action sequence – even though it's just like dark, dark, dark and end of the world stuff, going through all the portals through the nine realms and then watching that hammer.
Yeah.
I loved that.
You just kept waiting for it because the hammer kept getting left behind. But so it automatically wants to return to Thor. So it keeps flying. It's flying through the universe and you're waiting for that.
It's a really triumphant feeling when that hammer races back to his hand. And it's just a great power set. It's a great weapon. And Thor as a hero is somebody that you can get behind, and you really like him even when he's, like, you know, brooding and he should be celebrating, and he's never annoying, never obnoxious. We've passed that point where he's the brash and arrogant Thor, and now he's just a guy that you know, you can like. And I think they very wisely expanded Heimdall's role. Mm-hmm. And you get like a Star Wars thing. Like, I mean, I was mentioning the Naboo stuff, but mm-hmm. like when they the Dark Elves come in,
yeah,
there's a really cool design for their ships.
Dark Elf masks were terrifying.
Yes, they are.
Those, like, white.
It was like a Kubrick kind of.
It was very
scary.
Much Kubrick orgy masks. And
yes,
whoever designed those, I'm going to send you my Insomnia bill. Can you bill for Insomnia?
I love the masks. I love the Dark Elf design. I love the design of all the, you know, the different races and stuff in this film. You see some creatures from other realms throughout, like some demon-y looking creatures, and, you know, some ice trolls and things like that. The one design thing that I think may have helped is if they're like the Dark Elves have totally opaque eyes, mm-hmm. and maybe if we got to see more of Eccleston's face,
right.
He's a very expressive actor. There is a sense that, and we mentioned that, like, it's kind of okay that he's such a broad, one note kind of character,
right.
Because there are other characters filling those more complicated roles. But if maybe we could see more of his face, that would be helpful. And there is a feeling that he and I'm going to butcher the name, but the guy from Lost who plays
Adebisi
Curse.
From Oz.
Yes.
He'll always be Adebisi from Oz, yes.
Those could kind of be anybody.
Right.
They could, like, any actor could kind of, like, not any actor, but you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, you know, it's not a great showcase for their ability.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically a plot device. You know, they've come to destroy the Earth, and it's really about what's happening around them.
And it's great designs, but it's just like I can't see through those eyes, and I don't really know, you know, what they want other than.
And the problem ends up being that the best villain so far in the Marvel Universe was the first movie. And he couldn't really be the villain again because he was the villain in Avengers again. You know, they couldn't make Loki be the bad guy. So So they had to go a different way. And, you know, I know people have complained about Loki overexposure, and I've seen it all over the place, but he's so good as Loki. And he brings a really complicated element to the character that I don't care. I haven't been every movie. I don't care. When he's in prison, it's basically what happens is when the Dark Elves attack, they invade Asgard and end up killing Thor and Loki's mother in a battle. And, you know, the whole Loki's been in prison the whole time, and he sneers at his family, and he doesn't want to, you know, he won't admit that she's his mother because he's adopted, and he hates everyone. But he really takes it hard because he was his mother's son. He was the one who did magic like her. He wasn't Thor.
That's right.
Thor was Odin's son. He was his mother's son. I love the sequence where Thor comes down to tell Loki that the mother's dead, and, you know, Loki's being all brash and his Loki self, but it's really just an illusion, and he's smashed up his cell, and he looks haggard, and clearly he's taken it to heart, and he goes into rage mode once against the Dark Elves once he finds they've killed his mother, and I loved that aspect of his character.
Yeah, I really did too. There's this sort of an armchair kind of thing, but part of me wishes that it's not about the Loki overexposure, but I wish that they sort of delayed the gratification of seeing Loki.
Right.
I don't know that we need the scene where he comes to Asgard in chains and, you know, but then, you know, if we did wait until Thor comes down to the cells and see, we would lose that moment where the guard comes in and we can't hear what he's saying, but he's saying, you know, that Frigga has died and see him, you know, like force push all of the stuff in his cell.
Right.
We would lose that moment, but maybe you could do that moment when Thor tells him. But anyways, it kind of would have been cool to delay that a little bit because he is like the Hannibal Lecter of this universe. And I don't know that he's overexposed at this point, but I think they should be very careful moving forward with how
I think they said he's not
play with
you
him.
Won't see him in the next Avengers film.
I hope we see him again. I mean, it looks like we should, like,
the way the
Thor
movie ends is that he has taken over Asgard. He's pretending to be Odin.
And what happened to Odin is
another question. But I think you'll see him again in Thor 3. I found myself wishing, because I just love Hemsworth so much, I found myself wishing they would do the God Bomb story for the third movie, just because I want to see Hemsworth play old Thor, and I want to see him play young brash Thor again.
There was a thing, I guess, an interview a while ago, maybe a few weeks ago, where he talked about what he wanted Thor 3 to be, and he was saying that it should be Ragnarok, and that makes sense if you want to do like a trilogy, but also maybe to go down to hell, and I think the afterlife, seeing things like, you know, I'm sure that Frigga's not in hell with one L. She's probably in Valhalla, but and the funeral scene was really beautiful.
It was great. And at first I was like, wow, do we need this? But then I thought, you know, it really did work. It was a nice scene. It also helped sort of you know, show the grief of everyone, which led to the anger and the fighting later.
And then that leads like direct. Doesn't it lead like directly into a Selvig scene? Like, there's like really great dissonance in it, but it works. Like there's some really broad comedy, but then and some really heartfelt stuff. But it all fits together.
Something else you mentioned earlier about how at first you were looking for the Thor fish out of water stuff, and then it ended up happening. I found myself wondering, you know, I thought the rules of the world were a little muddy. Like, are they gods? Are they not? Like, are they worried about death? But then they explain it as soon as I started thinking about it. Then Odin says
Odin
no,
says
we're actually not gods. We do die. It just takes a long time.
I was worried that he was going to go with like the sort of the studio notes, or someone like has said like they're not really gods. Think of them as aliens. I was really worried he was going to say like we're actually extraterrestrials. And but no, that was I think really right on that they're just really long lives.
Yeah,
but
they
are
for 5,000 years. But they do end up dying because I always
so
that
Thor
always
actually
me
believes
with the Odin,
that Loki
with the
died.
Odin sleep. You know, like
yeah.
If they don't die. What's the point of the Odin sleep? And then, you know, I never really figured that out. But then this movie made it clear that they just live a long time and they're very strong, but they can die. And
that's the difference between something like this and like midichlorians, you know, right. Like they explain just enough about how this world works.
Right.
And there's, you know, new wrinkles, things like they have like these like laser cannons. And right. There's like spaceships. That's what I kind of love about Marvel's Thor, that it's so unusual that he's this weird combination of fantasy and science fiction. Mm-hmm. And they capture that really well in these films, and we get to see more of it here, and it's not too much, it's just right. So
yeah.
Well, we should talk about those post-credit sequences.
Well, before that, there's one more point, which is somewhat related to that. I was going to get to that in a minute. I said before that Loki was the only character they clapped for when they came out, which is not entirely true. They also clapped heartily for the Captain America cameo.
Oh, yeah. it was great.
So much so that I have no idea what he actually said. So I'm looking forward to watching it again because the audience went berserk.
He has a lot of lines.
He went berserk. The audience went berserk when Cap showed up, when it was actually just Loki pretending to be Cap. But it was still...
Like, do you want to talk about truth and justice and patriotism and...
Yeah, I love this suit's very tight. That's about the only line I got before I couldn't hear anymore. But that was fun. I was like, every post Avengers movie so far has had at least two Avengers in it. There was the Hulk cameo in Iron Man 2. There's a Cap cameo in this one. And then Captain America 2 is going to have Black Widow in it. So every movie's had at least two Avengers in it. But so that was fun. I liked that a lot. And then post credit sequences. Let's talk about those because I almost consider them different parts of the movie. So
now, this is interesting also, just very quickly, Alan Taylor has sort of disavowed the mid-credit sequence, right. Saying, like, if there's anything that I could, like, not have in this movie or, like, I don't want to take credit for, it's that.
Well, and let's talk about the second one first, because that's really
the post-credits, not the mid-credits.
Yeah, there's two sequences. There's the mid-sequence and there's a post-credits. It's exactly like Avengers. There's the Marvel Universe-related scene is in mid-credits, and then the sort of...
So the Thanos spot and the shawarma spot.
And the button is related to the movie. And I thought the button was great. It was, you know, the movie ends, and Thor's gone back to Asgard, and Jane is sad. They're all sitting around the table, and... You know, when's he going to come back? You know, last time he left, you didn't see him again for 2 years, and you're kind of left on a down note, especially at the very last scene of the movie. But then the post-credit sequence was great. Thor comes back and sweeps up Jane in his arms, and it was a great way of showing, you know, he's not going to forget about her and or leave her this time.
And it's about that. I mean, that's the direct thing, but also the indirect thing is saying, like he talks about it with who he thinks is Odin, but it's actually Loki,
right.
That he's going to be in all of these worlds,
right.
And defend them, and he doesn't want to be stuck on a throne. He wants to be and so this is his choice to be an active Avenger,
right? To be to be Thor, not Odin. He wants to be out there protecting people and not sitting on a throne.
And so it's very cool to see that, and it's great.
That was a great final scene.
And you get the little joke of the ice troll.
Oh yeah.
It's not a frost giant, it's an ice troll, and he's chasing the birds.
Yeah, so there's an ice troll in London. So we'll see
Yeah.
It's very at home. It's very cold there.
Well, the S.H.I.E.L.D. will be taking care of that.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what they're going to do in the show. So if you watch S.H.I.E.L.D., the next episode is going to relate to the movie.
It's probably going to have to do with things going through portals, and because that's kind of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s thing, is
right.
Physics kind of stuff.
So then the mid-credit sequence. We are in a very alien world, all kinds of strange beings, and then Volstagg and Sif, right? They're the two that are
there.
We see them walking up to a strange being, and they're giving him an object to hold for them.
There's a pink girl,
It's Benicio del Toro playing the Collector, and they give him one of the Infinity Gems to hide for them. And
it's the Aether. Right, it's the Aether, and so that's kind of interesting. So there's a lot of things that are interesting about the scene, if you know what you're looking at. So they're giving him the Aether, which is they're calling an Infinity Gem, and the Tesseract is another Infinity Gem,
right?
I don't know if they've spoken about the Tesseract,
which is strange because there was actually an Infinity Gauntlet in the first movie with the gems in it.
That's right.
So
they didn't know that they were going to be this huge, I guess, and that they were going to go there.
I had two thoughts on this sequence. One, I agree with Alan Taylor. It looked a little cheap.
It looked cheap. It looked awkward.
My other thought is my worry with Guardians of the Galaxy, and this was this was not assuaged at all by the scene. It was only reinforced. Is that I feel like Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be a bridge too far for most people, because it was weird. He was over the top as the Collector, in weirdness.
And so James Gunn, I liked Slither.
Mm-hmm. James Gunn directed this sequence just like Joss Whedon directed the sequence post Thor with the Avengers tie-in.
Right. Yeah. And so I can appreciate some James Gunn humor. Now, maybe it's helpful that the Guardians of the Galaxy are distanced from a lot of this other stuff, that they can be their own thing and have their own tone. It's kind of unfortunate that, well, actually, you know, if this was after Captain America Winter Soldier, it'd probably be even more jarring. But
no, it works in this because it's a big cosmic story. But
the cosmic stuff, and but Volstagg and Sif, like, they're supposed to feel uncomfortable, but they just look awkward. Like, we do not belong in this scene. Like,
this is not our movie.
We just happened to be around set one day, and they hauled us in.
My worry with the Wave 3 movies, and you've got Ant-Man in there, and Guardians of the Galaxy is this, you know, they might be getting too far from the things that made them successful.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm not going to judge them. I'm going to, you know, we haven't even seen a trailer with most of the, this is just one character from the movie. It happens to be a very flamboyant, over-the-top character. Maybe the rest of the film won't be like that. But, and I'm not going to
He was doing like a heavier Bardem kind of weird. Like, although Benicio del Toro is pretty weird on his own, but.
And he's an Oscar winner. What are you going to do? But it made me no less worried than I have been about Guardians of the Galaxy. It only reinforced what I was worried about, that it's going to be really too crazy for most people. But we'll see. But that's my feeling coming out of that.
I wonder what people are going to think. Like, I've had so many funny reactions behind me at these movies. Like, the guy thinking the Aether was Carnage. And then with the Avengers, one time I saw it and I saw the Thanos scene, and there was a woman who said, "Oh, Hellboy." And then there was the next time I saw it, they said, "Oh, the Thing."
Right.
They didn't know who Thanos was. And, you know, fine, they'll be introduced to Thanos eventually. But this is by far the weirdest bonus thing that they've tagged onto a movie. And it's just, it's a deep cut even for lifelong Marvel fans. And I only, just because I know the casting, like, I know what that is. And,
right. You know, there was really a spacey vibe. I haven't read any of the modern Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, so I don't know anything about that. But it's,
He's not really a modern Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, but I never really read any of that stuff. But the modern characters seem to be the ones, like, the, you know, Rocket Raccoon and Groot and all those. But at least the modern way they've been portrayed seems to be the model they're going with. I could be wrong. I haven't read any of them. So, but, yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird. I'm not going to lie.
It was weird, and I do kind of feel bad for Alan Taylor because, like, that's part of his movie, and it doesn't feel like part of his movie.
No. It looked kind of like a sci-fi show. Like SYFY show.
And it puts you in a weird mood that you see that at the mid-credits, and then you get to the post-credits, and we're back into this movie. And this didn't feel like the Iron Man 3 one felt like a little tag. This also just felt like a continuation of the movie. Like, it's like an additional scene. Like, it could have ended there instead of it being a post-credit scene.
The Iron Man 3 one, for me, remains the most disappointing, even with this Guardians of the Galaxy scene, simply because it's the only one that doesn't move the overall plot or the overall world forward. I think plots.
It's a reminder that movie should have had Bruce Banner in it, because that was a great relationship from Avengers, and I wanted more when you see them driving off together. And Iron Man 3 was already in the works,
right?
And so they just—it's like a,
So
better than nothing. But
listen, you know. I don't want to sound too down on it. It just was very weird, and I was very sort of taken aback by it, and I wasn't sure what to think. I'm interested to see what I think now with a second viewing, knowing what's
coming. A head scratcher. That's what it really is. It's just, it's like, what? And but overall, so excited to see this again. I love this movie. This is it's getting weird to start ranking them, but this is one of my favorites.
Yes.
From you know, this phase or any other phase. And I'm glad that it's so weird. It's, you know, a good way to end this is it's so exciting to see up on the screen Thor will return.
Yes.
That there are two great Thor solo movies and he's great in the Avengers.
Yes.
They pulled it off.
And then in a year and a half, he'll be back in Age of Ultron, if not before that, in some other cameo. From what I've heard, Hemsworth is booked. He is for the next 5 or 6 years, he is going to be working a lot.
Yeah, he should. He's really good.
Yeah. So, if you enjoyed the first Thor film or Thor in the Avengers movies, you had to see this movie. I think it was great. You know, Marvel Studios continues to on its movie roll. So, good stuff. Really, really good stuff. Now, I'm really looking forward to The Winter Soldier. I was before. I watched that trailer 10 times, but. You know, now I really want to get to the next one because
I enjoyed it. Another!
So, go to ifanboy.com. You can find this show and you can comment on it. Tell us what you thought of Thor, what you thought of the movie, what you thought of the post-credit sequence, the mid-credit sequence, what you're looking forward to. Anything you have, you know, what you want to say about this film, go to ifanboy.com. You can do it there. And don't forget to listen to the Pick of the Week podcast every week where Paul and I and Josh Flanagan talk about the week's worth of books. And go to ifanboy to talk about those books there also. So, until... the next movie, which I don't even know what the next movie is, but will be another one. We'll be back. I'm
Captain
Connor.
America, right?
Well, that's long way off. So we'll see.
All right. Well, you're Connor. I'm Paul.
Okay. I'm Connor. You're Paul. He's Thor. He's very handsome.